Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. I guess I maybe should have, you know, retitled my show or something, because I certainly feel like we're in revolution. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. Apologies for the last couple of shows. You know, have been kind of busy, I guess. John F. Kennedy said that those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. The honorable thing that we have all done is to follow constitutional means of redress, and it's been going on a long time, and thank goodness we are more aware and awake than we ever have been in our lives about what's going on. I don't know, I'm probably a newbie to this. There are probably many of you out there who have really seen a lot more than I have and are probably thankful and grateful for the company, but we're all joining the ranks. So thank you so much for coming this evening. I guess one of the things I'd like to sort of maybe even title this show this evening is encounters with the New World Order. Because right now we have a number of people who have stood up and really been on the eligibility and the breach of Article 2, which I still believe is the greatest constitutional crisis that we have ever faced. And everybody's engaged, notwithstanding the media being nervous about breaking the story. For heaven's sakes, who gave them the right to keep the information hidden or determine if there are going to be riots? In any case, we have tried every possible means, and now we can see clearly that not only if you stand up individually, you get crushed and you get economically impacted, but also we can see that we are right and have been in the last 2 years that this is something that is very, very serious and impacting our nation. So in that regard, you can see that there's been a conspiracy, if you will, to isolate, terminate, crush, economically deprive, jail, and who knows, even murder, but otherwise blackball and railroad anyone who gets close to this issue. Now, it can't just be Barack Obama. He's a pushover. Cannot be just Valerie Jarrett or even Michelle. It cannot be any of those people themselves. This is much, much bigger. The media is engaged. You know, they're playing us on their chessboard. And it's time to really now stand up. So this evening I want to review where we have been on this eligibility issue, what is perhaps coming forward. And I hope I've invited a number of people this evening to join us and listen in. Hopefully Captain Pam Barnett will join us, Captain Neil Turner. Hopefully Commander Charles Kirshner will join us, and maybe some others this evening to talk about the various battles that we've been in. So good evening in the chat room. Have no callers on the line right now. Papoose, good evening. Charles, hello, Jet Driver. Three guests, good evening. Free Text, good evening. And Kate. Good evening, Dr. Kate. Who is that? So first, let's go here. As by all means, you've probably read the Lame Cherry article and my brief on my circumstance, but I want to tell you first off, before I even talk about my circumstance, is that in part, I know they're, you know, the opposition, this conspiracy to deprive people of their livelihood if they say anything. And this is, you know, this is Germany. This is communism. This is totalitarianism. This is fascism, and this is our First Amendment rights to raise an issue, and our constitutional rights, all of which have been denied. How many people are in this conspiracy probably is in the hundreds and thousands. But before I point to my case, they will play anything they can, including that I might make a big deal out of what just happened to me in my small world, to take attention away from Terry Lakin, from Commander Charles Kirshner's case, from the work of Orly Tates, from the other individuals who have stood and been punished for it. I just found out through my own ordeal that the woman who got up on the TV and said, was quoted on national TV as saying, write to Obama in a forum that she was tired of defending him. Apparently, she lost her funding as a nonprofit organization shortly thereafter that on national TV. And so the media is really controlling everything. Well, of course, the New World Order is controlling everything. And I guess if your name appears in a newspaper, in a national press or in any other forum, you know, you're really marked and targeted. And like I say, the only saving grace in all of this is that we're all right. I mean, we're getting the punishment, but we're all right. And so for my own case, I had to sort of see as much as I could go public because I'm nervous But also, I'm not going to take over anything or take away from the tremendous injustice done to Terry Lakin and to all those who have filed the eligibility lawsuits across the country. This is pretty outrageous, and it's pretty darn dangerous, as far as what I can tell. So let's start with Terry Lakin. He's written his first note out of prison, and Obama Release Your Records has a wonderful, information vault, really, on what's going on with Terry Lakin, including the video of the hearing and, various other things that are coming out, the thousands of letters that are coming to him. Apparently the most recent is the family's first visit down there. They got to spend a little bit of time, and Terry Lakin has a library duty and so forth, and he's getting hundreds of letters. He doesn't want to be a hero, or didn't need a fan club, as he said, but as one of the guards said to him, well, you know, if I wasn't a guard here myself, I'd be writing to you. So we've got a valiant warrior who is totally shy, painfully shy, but also he's done, as he said, he's done his bit. He stood up. He really has sacrificed his career. Of course they will look beyond, quote-unquote, the equivalent of a, quote-unquote, felony charge for him, but they've ruined him. And he will definitely find employment, and personally, if he was in my area, he'd be my doctor as well. And then the family and the rest of his family who had this pressure divide them, like everybody, in terms of, you know, did you really have to do this, and what about that? And having been witness to just really a terrible event in the courtroom, I can't even really describe it, how awful it was to see how everybody behaved. Again, the only saving grace that we know out of any of this, not only is he still alive to fight another day, to live another day with his family, we're right. We're right on all of this. You know, we've been crushed, but we're right. And this is how far they will go. And they will go further than that. Again, just it's very important to keep an eye on Terry Lakin and his treatment there. It sounds like everything is okay and he looks well and so forth, but, you know, it's very important that we not egg on anyone because this was planned. It's planned. Who was going to be the person who had the ability to give clemency, who the prosecutors were, who the judge was, who was on the jury, for heaven's sakes, even the defense, who was on the defense from the military standpoint. So there's a conspiracy here, and you know what? What brings that on, or what brings to mind, is the RICO stuff. So there you have that. Now, you also have everything that Commander Kirshner has done, and, you know, the expense. And I don't know if any of you know, but Mario Puzo took that case on largely pro bono. And as you know, Commander Kirshner raised the money for all of this, so your contributions to that case are still going to be helpful. Even when they were denied even a review at the highest level, which was crushing in itself, but also confirming, sadly confirming, what we had all thought, is that the corruption is really deep. And the corruption, whether it's fears, threats, whatever it is, our first American republic has really been ripped apart by this kind of behavior, which is now out in the open. 30, 40, 50 years longer than that is now clearly out in the open. The fruits of not paying attention are clearly out in the open. But what are we going to do right now? Blame our parents? No, we got to move forward. All right, so then there's Orly Tates and all of her clients and everywhere that happened. Yes, rules have been thrown out. I don't have any callers here, so I'm going to be chatting and also going back and forth between the chat. Excellent. Very good, Charles. Thank you for putting that in. The post and email has been absolutely a regular and just a gem in covering all of this work and covering Lake. And there are plenty of interviews that are going out, and I hope to bring these folks on as we continue. But this has been now 2.5 years of just really a conspiracy to defraud. And we may not get to all to the quo warranto phase, even though there are several people right now, including myself, who may have and probably have quo warranto standing. Look what happens. If you go alone, you are crushed. And who's to say that you don't go to D.C. with the case that's perfect? And what is our experience in the last 2 years? Even a case that's perfect doesn't get a hearing, a la Commander Kirshner, a la Barnett, the Secretary of State in California. I mean, really, this is just outrageous. And so if there are not millions of people or even tens of thousands or thousands or even 1,000 or even 100. You know, if you're like Terry Lakin and you are surrounded by enemies, the enemy who has guns and you're out of bullets, what do you do? I think that's a serious thing, and I think that's what I will say in terms of my own situation. Mine is serious. And, you know, but I'm going to keep on writing because I get it now. But, you know, my pain is not, you know, sure, it is serious, like I say. But it's not my Lakin's or anybody else's. Those sacrifices are bigger than mine. Who knows? Yes, very good. Thank you for the stuff that's going up in the chat room, Charles. Yes, and with the Kirshner case, look at that. Sotomayor and Kagan, not just because they were appointed by Obama, but they really had financial interest in this issue, absolutely should have recused themselves. They have recused themselves in other cases where it was very clear conflict of interest. Kagan's signature was on 8 of the Justice Department briefs moving to dismiss the case, i.e. just ignore the Constitution, forget it. We're ignoring it too. Not even the courtesy of responding to Americans' questions. How arrogant. And they just refused to recuse themselves. And they didn't because they needed the votes. That was very clear. They needed Kagan and Sotomayor because the court was going leaning to take the case. There you go. Nevertheless, that the Chief Justice did not exercise any authority to have the junior justices, the most junior justices, recuse themselves is really a problem. Yes, Stephen Pidgeon and Leo D'Onofrio now have work going on as well. There's an excellent interview with Stephen Pidgeon about the opportunities we now have to really, really move forward. Okay, so let me now ask if there's anything out there that you want me to mention or talk about, but we have gone pretty much as far as we can. I think many people on the quo warranto and know very much that we need numbers, like we need the Tea Party size numbers to realize what's going on, and maybe in my situation, other people who can maybe talk about it will serve as a testimonial that it's time to deal with this right now, because if you don't, this is what's going to happen to everybody who stands. So I think it's a very serious issue. Yes, Congress. 73 new members of Congress that can get this done without fear. That's right. So what can you do? What can we all now do to support this effort, aside from standing up and, you know, getting shot down or opening yourself up to be a sitting duck? You know, hello. All right, number one is every state has got to assure, you've got to get on your state legislatures and your state secretary of state. Everyone has to have an eligibility criterion to get on the ballot in the state. People have to start talking about that now through, you know, through letters to the editor, through letters to the secretary of state. And what do you have now? You have Terry Lakin, you have Orly Tace's clients, you have Pamela Barnett, you have me, you have, you know, all of these other people, Commander Kirshner, everyone who has been damaged by this. Do you think that any of these people have not had death threats? Of course they have, or have had their families threatened or one way or another. And do you see now they can reach anywhere they want to stuff you. And like I say, this is, if it weren't for the number of people who are aware of this now, I shudder to think about what would have happened to individuals like me. So it's important to keep talking about this, because for the safety of everybody who's been involved in this, to keep it alive so that if anything happens to any someone who's there, especially those who live in rural areas and drive lonely roads at night, if anything happens, there can at least be some record, or somebody knows, or somebody begins to think that maybe this is related to. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. So I think that's one thing you have to do. Also, of course, continue to support Lakin if you can. But keep talking about it. Keep getting that word out and push at the state level. Yes, now what about Congress? Are they going to be able to do anything? Yes, absolutely. The eligibility sort of workbook, handbook, dictionary is at World Debt Daily. There are huge resources available. Be able to spin this off easily, facts easily, and weave it into every single discussion. I would also read up on the Vieira stuff in terms of what the implications are of not having an eligible commander-in-chief. People don't realize things like this. Talk about Lakin. Would, you know, ask people, do you want to send your son and daughter into a service that basically doesn't allow you to question anything? Or this is what happens, you get thrown in the brig? What's the story there? You have to be out there. And we know. That's basically it. We've proved it. New York Times had to write about it. The media has to talk about it now. Even though, you know, as with Hat Tip to Papoose, it's really true. They're just using us. They're still discrediting us, thinking that all of us just think that Obama was born in Kenya. Again, completely discrediting the very solid constitutional ground that we're on, that it's, you know, that it's parents and birthplace. And that the ludicrousness, who's more crazy, us or the people who allow an electronic image of a forged document to suffice for the qualification of President of the United States? Unbelievable. And, you know, Terry Lakin, again, I keep reporting this, Terry Lakin could not have shown up for duty at the Pentagon with an electronic copy of a COLB that was possibly forged when he reported to duty. So what's that about? You can report to duty. You have to report to duty with your birth certificate to get killed, but you don't have to report that if you're going to order people to get killed. What's that about? This is how serious it is. How very, very serious it is. Still don't have any callers there. Are there any questions while I take a short break and stop blabbing for a minute? Or does anyone want to call in? Let me just say what happened to me, so you know. That's right. The discussion on the chat is going on about the birth certificate, the COLB, so forth and so on. America's a republic. One thing I did not like about the David Horowitz tape that I put up on my blog was that he refers to America as a democracy. But that must be left over from his leftist days, I suppose. Hard word to beat. Okay, so for me, I had a regular, just a contract issue that I thought with a particular job where basically being let go, not for cause, just, you know, for a quote-unquote funding reason, but in terms of being let go, just violated the basic contract provisions of notice, pro rata payment, and severance. So I thought it was just simply a contract issue, and that's how I was proceeding until I got word of another piece of information, which is credible, and also seeing some photographs, which also are quite credible, of people that I know in a meeting with the president and Valerie Jarrett, realizing that my career is over. Especially if, you know, if the information I have is true, that, you know, part of the termination and possible any future work is over. So all of a sudden, and then, of course, attending the Lakin court-martial, which happened after, officially after the termination and so forth, I realized, you know, me too. I've been a victim of a conspiracy that will be very hard to prove, except I have information, and that's as far as I will go. But, again, it just shows you what can happen. Now, listen, I'm nothing. The work that I do, yeah, it's pretty important for the small field that I'm in, but I'm a blogger, I've told all of you. I make mistakes like everybody else. I don't know everything. My blog is, you know, when I do research, I find that's real interesting, I want to share it. I'm learning as much as anybody else. I don't profess to be any kind of expert on the Constitution and so forth. But, yes, I've been alarmed about Obama since I wrote The Trojan Candidate in September of 2008, and it's been nonstop for me since then. Did I ever expect to be here or actually have my work affected? No. Now, yes, I've been working in Indian country while my concerns about Obama have been there, but I never considered ever, you know, I've got some principles here, using the work in Indian country as a tool to get at Obama, because what I do is so different and involves imparting, you know, long-term knowledge to people and communities on their own water resources and writing and enacting laws and so forth that that manage the resource according to their views, something I would call culturally resource-based management, and then integrating those with federal and state law and management policies. That's what I do. I've never really looked at the oil and gas or the gaming, and I've purposely looked away because, you know, I didn't want my life to end sooner, sooner than I wanted it to end. So, in any case, I can understand why there would be someone of a eligibility concern to the White House in working with Indian Affairs, but again, enough about my own piece. I want to alert you to this. One is any settlement with Indians on any issue, water, land, timber, oil and gas, owed money, anything, most of which have to be signed by the president, are any of those legal if signed by an illegal president? How many treaties did Chester Arthur sign? One, Turtle Mountain up in North Dakota, which completely divided the reservation, into basically small islands spread across Montana and northern North Dakota. What about Obama? How many settlements has he just signed, that maybe are not legal? Is there a stand for somebody to raise a question as to that? What about gaming agreements signed by the president? Or large-scale oil and gas development issues? Or matters of, quote-unquote, giving sovereignty, unquote, or expanding, quote-unquote, sovereignty? Power is not available in the Constitution. What about those issues? Can they be challenged from the outside? You should look in your communities. You should be aware. I'm not talking about going after people. For heaven's sakes, I've worked with Indians for 30 years. They have legal rights. You know, not everybody's perfect, just like, you know, Obama. Nobody's perfect, like all of us. And there are peculiarities of federal Indian law, but the only clause that impacts Indians in the Constitution, the only one where Indians are mentioned, is in Article 1, Section 8, the Commerce Clause. And that clause basically gave Congress the power to regulate the trade among the Indian nations. That's it. So from there have been, you have to look to treaties, which are the highest law in the land, and various aspects of federal Indian law to put together, piece together what is essentially domestic dependent nations within the United States. They have huge water rights in the West. That's the elephant in the living room in the western United States is Indian water. The Missouri, the Columbia, the Colorado, the Green, the Platte, the Yellowstone. I mean, it's everywhere. Tribes have water rights everywhere, and they also have guaranteed by treaty fishing and hunting rights and access to traditional cultural areas. So you can see that it is very complex, and when the federal government doesn't fulfill its deeds, there's a whole bunch of issues going on. The gaming thing has been a boon to tribes, sort of, tribal governments. The monies can't be distributed per capita, but it has impoverished also and has allowed the criminal element to come in. So, you know, the picture I saw of Mr. Obama and Valerie Jarrett with tribal leaders during a summit that happened just right at the same time the Lakin trial was happening, discussing policy priorities, what's going on with gaming? What's being allowed to be stationed there? You've got Chicago and gaming and oil and gas and minerals. Tribes own 60% of the oil and gas in the United States, probably close to 70% of the uranium and roughly about 40% of the coal. So this is a big deal. So Pollyanna stumbled into this. So I am now going to actually take a break and finish with that. So you can see I'm not going to take this in an ego way or cry, foul. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep writing about eligibility. I'm not going to endanger my life, and I'm going to land on my feet, and gee, now I have nothing else to do but work on liberty and bringing our country back. So count me in wherever you are. And then I just heard the news today that Michelle Bachmann is going to run for president. I think that's pretty good. So I'm going to play about a 7-minute song. Enjoy. I'll be right back. Thank you. Amazing Grace. That was just wonderful. That's the theme song from Endless War, a running bull for president. Very good. This is very funny on the tribal discussion, but I think it's worth pursuing here. You know, we can't really interfere, so to speak, but I do think something is going on. I think Lame Cherry's onto something about the voter fraud and Stephanie Sandlin. And who's the other guy in North Dakota, South Dakota? I think there might be something to that because, you know, the Indian vote means everything in the primaries. It really does. 5,000 votes can make a big difference in the rural area. And it's the Midwest that's going to be kind of a big deal. Plus, like I said, the tribes are on plenty of resources. And at least I know in North Dakota, the Bakken Formation is the largest formation in the lower 48. It could supply the United States for a very, very long time, even with current levels of consumption. And they've just doubled the estimates of the volume of reserves to, I think, something like nearly 700 billion, no, 700, yes, 700 billion, you know, barrels of oil. This is huge. This is, you know, the big glaciated region where you have 1,000-foot-thick deposits of oil and glass. Yeah, sippy cup. Yes, that's correct. Tim Johnson, that's correct. So the crows and the adoption, now that's something interesting. Honestly, I think it has something to do with what we're talking about here on eligibility. Now, how ridiculous, what can you say, but you know, if you can claim that a Native American tribe adopted you as a Native citizen, as he said, that he was a Native American, maybe he's trying to make something of that or, again, confuse the issue. But honestly, I think it has to do with oil and gas and gaming. I really do. Now, the tribes need that oil and gas. That's what they've been waiting for 100 years. That's their economic future. That's your regular tribal people out there, not necessarily the leaders that are corrupt. The regular people out there have been waiting for a long time for this. But who else needs that? The New World Order. It's asset gathering, right? Oil and gas, minerals, uranium. So all of that stuff is asset gathering. That's what drives George Soros crazy with the Chinese, that they are gathering assets and they're running from currency. Well, who wouldn't run from the dollar right now? You know, they're gathering gold and oil and gas. And again, Lame Cherry's onto something about the peculiarities of quote unquote sovereignty. You know, what do you do when the bank comes for your assets and you have nothing left? You don't have any tangible thing you can give them. You can't pay anything back. What do? You give them your land and your resources. That's why all the national parks and all of that stuff are completely vulnerable to the debt we have. That's how you pay them back. Where do you start with that? Gee, maybe you start on Indian reservations. where there's some quasi-sovereignty and where the tribes really need economic development and where gaming is not cutting it, and besides there's all kinds of drugs and other kinds of things that are going on there with the gaming and money laundering, what kind of deal do you work out? Do you get oil or gas or water or one or the other? So, you know, like I say, we can't necessarily interfere, but I think what happened to little old me is, you know, my own career thing, like I say, I'll figure out what I'm going to do. But I think the stumbling feature, I think the thing you learn from me and my situation is to take a look at these Indian settlements and to take a look at the relations of Obama with Indian nations, what he's doing behind closed door. Subpoena the notes. I mean, FOIA the notes. What's going on? What kind of deals are being cut? Are there deals being made about our debt and how it's going to be paid off by the Indians and their huge oil and gas reserves? Why aren't all these states and nations, Indian tribes, that have this oil and gas, why aren't they refining and making their own oil and gas and filling up the tank for 25 cents a gallon? How come all of it is going overseas so we can also send our soldiers overseas to get it? How come that's not happening? You know, Indian reservations are being used against us. And honestly, the people who really suffer, the ones I work for, the ones I really feel that I've been in this field for a long time, they're just being used. So, you know, you don't want to, like, beat everything down, but I'm telling you, there's probably a big, it's probably way bigger than me. Way bigger than me. Yes, Papoose, I agree. In the Roosevelt Room, the same time, I mean, the meeting that I'm telling you about that made me realize that my career was over was happening at the same time that the Lakin trial was held. And for me, I met one of the participants on the way back in the airport. And may I have permission, Papoose, to say what happened? That's right, Bridget. And, you know, I'm not sure what the big secret is. I think it's honestly oil and gas and money. And, yeah, drugs. I really do. 12, 15, 10. Yeah, so anyway, other people were delayed on the way home. Now imagine, you know, you're rushing to get out of that place. You get on a train. You know, you only got an hour and a half to go. And then midway in the way, in the place, they stop the train for no reason. They start pulling you back to the station. For no reason. They don't tell you why. What happens? How are you going to feel? You just attended the Lakin trial. What do you think that's happening? You know, it's really kind of nervous. It's really kind of nerve-wracking. You know, other things. And people are warning me, you know, like I say, I started the top of the show saying maybe it should be encounters with the New World Order. So there's very serious, very, very serious stuff going on, and we have to still be vigilant. Congress is afraid, I'm sure. But you know what? So am I. You know? So is everybody else. We're going to have to stand. This is what it means. And, you know, Lakin stood, and boy, look at that. I mean, you know, if this was another time, another place, you know, he would not be with us this day, you know. And so we have to really be vigilant in the way we do. Like I say, the eligibility issue has to be brought up, made sure the states require it. There, 9 hours on Amtrak for no reason. That happened to Papoose. This is really a serious deal. That's outright intimidation. I missed 2 flights, but like I say, I ran into one of the participants in this meeting, and it was a big meeting that was meant to coordinate the policy objectives with the tribes. So look anywhere you can. Drugs, immigration, illegal immigration. You should look about water, oil and gas, energy development, all of that stuff, and any kind of foreign companies that are invited in as quote-unquote tribal economic development initiatives, like with the Chinese, for example. That should raise red flags immediately. No pun intended. I mean, yes. Pam Barnett, I hope, will be coming on, but I don't see any phone calls on the switchboard, so hopefully she's listening. And Pam, if you are, if you'd like to discuss this evening, please feel free to call in. And same with you, Tenacity, and anyone else who would like to say a few words or call in. It would be very interesting. So, okay, like I say, I think I'm giving you what I can here, because I think there's a lot more to this issue about me. Although, like I say, it's devastating to me, but I now get it, you know. I'll tell you, when I was a little girl, I know I was like 6 years old, really, and I can remember this to this day. And when this happened, I sort of went to that place like it was yesterday. And I'm at this private girls' school that my mother was headmistress of, and I'm walking up the long dirt driveway to the lodge where I lived. And of course, I'm the first grader, you know, the only first grader to bring home homework, right? How stupid. But anyway, I was real thrilled about being in school. So I have my little notebooks, and I'm walking up the driveway, and I say, you know, I know something's going to happen in my life. I know it. I know it. I know it is. And so everybody since then has said, you know, it's just the youth and the folly and, you know, but actually I'm in my mid-50s, so don't think it's youth anymore. When this all happened and I realized the deck was being cleared for me and for something else that's happening, I sort of went right back there and I realized, oh, okay, it happened. So here I am, and what can I say? I never thought I'd actually be in the place where I remembered back then all those years ago. 49 years ago, that's where I am. So anyway, okay, there is Pam Barnett. Let me see if I can get her on the line here.
Do you just want me to start talking?
Yes.
Hello?
Good evening. Welcome, Catherine Barnett. How are you?
Fine. You can hear me okay?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, good. Oh, fine. I'm sorry. I missed the beginning of your show.
Oh, no problem. I was just sort of going over, you know, going over where we've been, where we are. You know, we've tried every avenue. Many people now have clearly quo warranto standing, but we have to have millions of people seeking quo warranto, because if you go by yourself, you get crushed. And so what I wanted to do tonight, Pam, was just sort of review where we'd been to talk as you have, that the fight is still worth it because it's serious consequences if we don't, and to kind of look forward as to where we might go. I was sharing my situation, Pam, where I think more than me in particular, what's happened to me, although personally devastating, I think it's opened the door for people to start looking at the eligibility issue from the standpoint of any agreement that Obama signs with Indians, or any issues around gaming, national security, or oil and gas, just as avenues. So I was just blabbing around about that, and I saw your telephone number. So why don't you just tell us what's on your mind? You've been one of the litigants. What do you see? You were at the Lagan trial. What do you see? What do you see going on?
Tyranny, if you could sum it up in one word. Like you said, I think that there are enough people now that you can. I didn't know if you have strong proof or strong circumstantial evidence that usurper was directly involved with you getting let go from your current job. Did you say that it was kind of strong evidence, or what kind of evidence is it?
Well, I was let go from my job before I found out that there might be this influence. And I have not only strong circumstantial evidence, which I can, let me back up. So I was let go before this happened, before I knew, and also was let go for the reason of lack of funding, but let go improperly, so I thought it was just a contract issue. Then when I got this other information, and I can't really say more, but it's pretty damning. And it didn't come out of Obama's mouth. It came out of somebody close to him who you can guess. And it's vindictive, and it's happened to other people. So that information I have made me realize more for the future. In the future, I'm not getting anything. And I'm sure the issue, the discussion went something like, you know, do you want your federal funding or do you want to work with this person? That's how individual I am in this field. I'm a highly sought-after person in this field. So, So the evidence that I have is pretty strong. So I could either go, you know, I have what I would call quo warranto standing right now.
You and Major Cook, and if you would be willing to do it, and then Colonel Awaken.
Also, there's something else called RICO, as you know what that is.
Because now I think there's
pretty definitive proof that, it's been orchestrated to deceive. And now have names, and now we have them from all different areas, and for heaven's sakes, on Indian issues. You know,
We have proof now of obstruction of justice from three federal agencies regarding information that would exactly pinpoint who this person is in the White House. And so there's a current lawsuit right now, and so we're putting together some affidavits because it's the Department of Homeland Security is obstructing justice. The Social Security Administration is obstructing justice, and the State Department is obstructing justice. So, won't release files and the types of things they won't do. They won't release the Barry Soroturo immigration files. What does that tell you? That there are Barry Soroturo immigration files. What does that tell you? That Obama was an Indonesian citizen also, besides being a British citizen. And then we have the passport records of his mother suspiciously. Oh, we did a purging of documents. And, it just so happens that Stanley and Dunham's were purged before 1965, which would have pinpointed possibly if she was getting a passport to go overseas during the time that usurper was born. So we have that. They're also not releasing, for my FOIA, they're not releasing consulate records with from the State Department. They sent me the same passport information that they sent to Chris Strunk, nothing new. And like I said, they totally ignored my part of my request where I asked for all the consular records on Stanley Ann Dunham to see like where, like she could have registered a birth at another, another country. So I had to get those records. And so they just ignored that aspect of my request, and it took them 2 years to get it to me, practically. Yeah, it was 2 years, almost 2 years, 22 months. And let's see, so then Social Security, they won't, I requested information regarding the Social Security number that usurper's currently using, that Obama's currently using. It's also shared by someone born in 1890 and issued in Connecticut. And this is all this information is verifiable through either two or three independent investigators, private investigators, and then put in affidavits for lawsuits. So, the Social Security number, I did a FOIA request asking for information on the number that Obama is using as to when it was issued, and a zip code of sent to, and the sex of the person, and I think that was it. I think there may have been one other thing, but they're all normally they're all non-identifying aspects, and they should be able to be released. For example, like if someone's doing studies on people in a region, if you're doing some type of research, you can do research on how many females there were that apply for Social Security numbers in a certain time period or something. But so they quashed my request completely. They won't release any information on the Social Security application for the number Obama's using. And then for another number that would identify when this number was issued, pretty much almost to the exact day, they won't release that information. They won't release that Social Security application. Two different people applied for it, and both people were not sent the actual application. They were sent a printout. And the printout doesn't have any dates on it. So they're completely obstructing justice in the Social Security Administration. And then on top of all this, Lena Kagan, the Solicitor General, had all this information in front of her face. Eric Holder was sent all of this information. The head of the FBI was sent all this information. Not the recent obstructing justice information, but the problems with the Social Security number. And the problems with the supposed birth document posted online. They saw all those affidavits and, you know, they've done nothing. So there's completely a RICO case here. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And I mean, there really is.
I'll take a breath now.
No. I mean, I'm glad you're here because I hardly took a breath for the first half hour, so I'm really glad you're here. No, that's right. Look at the wealth of information. And we could name names on that conspiracy. And it goes all the way up to basically, you know, to cover Obama. And there's there's no other way that could have gone down than the guy at the top. So,
we have names on the from the FOIA documents. So
all of that, and Holder, and we have actions, the Secretary of State. We have Pelosi's records through all of the work of JBJD. We have the entire record of this, and it also goes up to Valerie Jarrett, who I am convinced is very much behind a lot of stuff and is you know directly implicated in my situation, and it's astounding.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And
I heard about her firing. Go ahead.
And like others have said, maybe the way through is through the underlings, through Jarrett,
mm-hmm.
and other ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This court case, right now it's a FOIA court case through Chris Strunk, and so there's going to be additional judicial notices made for the case. And we see if this judge is going to continue to allow this tyranny, and we're going to give a proof of obstructing justice by three federal agencies, and you know, see what he does with it.
Yeah, and then we have to carry it over to, you know, with, of course, permission. But somehow there's got to be a FOIA ability in the Lakin case, for example. Because they are complicitous too. I mean, it's just huge. And
oh, yeah, the judge, Judge Lins, right, for denying
judge
his right to a fair trial. And then the general not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's
you
true.
You know, a Medal of Honor winner, Medal of Honor winner, you know, misspoke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Directed his subordinate to lie. And, you know, hey, it's not right out on the battlefield. He doesn't have to do what Medal of Honor winners do out in the field. You know, he didn't have to run over and, like, shoot Terry Lakin right there with that misdirection. And, you know, remember when we were there, we talked about the defense. You were not happy. I was hopeful, but there again, I was Pollyannaized. You know?
Yeah, you're a little Pollyanna.
I hope you don't hold it against me.
Oh, no, no, not at all. That shows a good, hopeful spirit.
That's on the rocks. I mean, you saw my writings. His own defense attorney crushed him. And, you know, I didn't think that was necessary. And, anyway, but there we have it. Like I say, the silver lining is that we're right. And they wouldn't pay any attention to us, and they wouldn't exert this multi-agency effort to crush people if there wasn't something there. And so, you know, how many people have to get killed and crushed before, you know, the media starts biting its nails and say, oh, there's going to be trouble. Yeah, it's going to be trouble because they blew it by not covering the issue properly.
Yeah. That's so racist of that comment that that supposedly some Democrats media types are saying that there'd be some type of civil war. That's complete BS. That's horrible to say that that black people would be like that. That's just ridiculous. They don't think very highly of our African American citizens, do they? I mean,
it's a perfect way to counter them on this. It's just how ridiculous.
Racist,
you know?
Is what it is. They're the ones that are racist.
Well, the other question that needs to be asked is, what about the rest of us? What we're going to do if nobody deals with it? We're going to deal with it. And do they want that? You know, we're going to have to. Everyone else has failed us. Everything has failed us. Everything. So right now, I mean, what do you see in the future of this eligibility, effort? I feel hopeful for 2011. Mainly because I feel like I'm going to have more time to deal with it. But, you know, at least me personally, I'll be doing something. But what do you see for 2011 on this? Are we over with this? Have we brushed too closely with the New World Order? Do we have to,
I don't know who said this or if I read this somewhere. I think I read this today that... you know, the biggest problem we have is that Obama is a prime target for blackmail by hiding all these secrets to stay in power. So how many people know, well, see, Indonesia knows he was an Indonesian citizen. Probably, you know, like the Russian intelligence service knows all this. They probably had spies go down there and get his, they probably have his naturalization paperwork from Indonesia. They have the money, and they have the spy power. They probably have all the records right there. You know, it could explain the drawdown in our missile defense. You know, he has this little BlackBerry, and this none of that is communication that we're privy to. And so who's he talking to on that BlackBerry? To his puppet masters, you know? Pulling a string.
Well, more importantly, I want to know who at the National Security Agency is listening to those conversations.
Nobody. How much you want to bet that nobody is?
Yeah, and why? And maybe that's another avenue of inquiry, because I think you're right. I think it, and I think it's, you know, it has to be an assault from a thousand cuts. We have to look at every single thing he's doing, harass him, hound him on every one of those communications.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving up. I feel it's worth fighting for. Unfortunately, it is, you know, they call it politics. I call it constitution. But, people in political power, it's dangerous to do something that threatens their power. Many people around Clinton ended up suspiciously dying. You know, it happens. Politics is very dangerous, and I don't want to be part of this whole thing, but I feel I need to. And, you know, I'll continue to be involved with it.
And, you know, honestly, for those of us who are still alive, crushed but alive, you know, still rolling down the street maybe, a different form, we have to keep talking. Everyone out there has to keep talking about this and reminding people what can happen. Because the more of us go down quietly, the worse it becomes.
Right.
I really feel that. I mean, it was very clear to me when this all happened. And really, I just feel the deck was cleared. And, okay, this is the rest of my life is this effort. And so I'm not giving up either. But also I want to be smart, you know, in terms of not getting crushed. So I do believe the Quo Warranto piece, unless it's thousands of people or hundreds of people, is not gonna make it right now. And I certainly, even though I may have experience, certainly am not going to do it myself, you know, because I'll be crushed. I know I'll be crushed. You know, they'll probably get me for that speeding ticket I didn't pay when I was like 18, you know? Life in prison with no parole for that. You know, it's got to be bad. And so there's that. But I think the aspects of RICO and conspiracy are excellent. I also think flooding the government with FOIA is essential. And, you know, Bush signed a new FOIA law that required government to respond to you within 10 days or face a penalty or face a lawsuit. So it's time to start tying them up.
We need to start pointing out.
Request for information while we basically assemble the tremendous RICO case that we have, you know?
Yeah, it's massive. It's a massive undertaking.
Now, here's a question from the chat room. How about citizens' grand juries to indict Obama for Social Security fraud? But no way to enforce resentments. So Terry, is it then not even worth doing citizen grand jury this way?
Well,
I think
that they've those have already been done, and I'm glad that they were done. And I'm glad we have a record. We've been making a record. We have a record of this crime, this high crime in the White House, and all the people supporting it, staying there and being there. And we're making a record right now. We'll keep going until, you know, hopefully the dam will eventually break and we'll get justice. And I just pray about it a lot. And I think, you know, getting the word out. And I think that, you know, I mean, they have to get the word out about you more and about Major Cook more and Colonel Lakin more about, and you know what's happened to Orley. You know, Orley was sanctioned for representing a client and questioning whether her client's orders were lawful, you know, Connie Rhodes, Captain Rhodes. So that one's at the Supreme Court, and I'm sure they'll poo-poo that, like they've poo-pooed all the other cases.
Was that distributed for conference?
Oh, yeah. It's just, I think actually 2 days from now, we're supposed to have conference on, what's his name? His case, where he was, the judge said that Obama's eligibility was Twittered to death and blogged to death.
Oh, yes. Hollister?
Hollister. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on Friday, I think. I think that's a conference on Friday. I think it was the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Orly's is next week. I think it might be the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. You know, it's well, it's total tyranny and obstruction of justice by having Elena Kagan and Sotomayor not recuse themselves from the Kirchner case when they're hires of Obama.
Agreed. And I think that maybe that in itself, and Sotomayor and Kagan need to be focused on more, excoriated, if you will, questioned. Just some more coverage of those two, both from what they refuse to do and also what they're continuing to do. I think that would be good as well. I think it really is a death by a thousand cuts that he's going to have to suffer. So the court avenue is still there. You know, everyone still has to be speaking up. I recommended that really every person in every state make sure that their Secretary of State and their state legislatures pass legislation that requires the eligibility criterion to be on the state.
It needs to pass very soon because 2012 will be here before you know it. People start getting on the presidential ballots in very early 2011 or early 2012. Gosh, we're
yeah,
right
and
here.
Here's thing
late,
is,
late 2011, late this year.
As with Arizona's bill, they will sue. The government's going to sue and say the states can't do that. So basically the states are going to have to be prepared for that and not let this, you know, drag on beyond the time when someone has to be put that on the ballot. I think we have to consider whether any federal court has the right to review a state action like that. And in other words, I think that's got to be the first line of defense is by what right do you have to sue in any federal court? You can sue in a state court here, but you can't sue in a federal court, and no state should sue in a federal court to enforce it because it's actually within the prerogative of the state to control who gets on the ballot. So we've got to strengthen the states that way. The legal efforts have to continue, and we have to start putting together this RICO case if we can find that.
Yeah, well, hopefully that we need to stay on top of the Arizona governor. What's her name?
Jan Brewer.
Brewer. We need to stay on top of her. She could see. I hope she's going to get a good dose of the complete tyranny in the White House because Obama and Holder are encouraging 11 different countries to sue Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely. That is just it's unbelievable. That should show her exactly that he has absolutely no allegiance to this country, and continuing the United States of America as it was originally founded.
And you know, we have to get that out as well. And everyone needs to write to their representative in outrage about this. I think there's some key issues that, in other words, there are key issues that we can focus on that by their nature bring in the eligibility, but that don't allow them to crush us under the eligibility banner. You know what I'm saying? There are key people that we have that we can put together an excellent RICO case, and that's probably going to have to continue to go. But, you know, eligibility is still a core issue, obviously. But, you know, working to support Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and the states in the eligibility issue is both working on eligibility as well as strengthening the states and maybe capturing more people who are will sort of get the connection. We still have to make that connection with people, unfortunately.
Right. Well, my phone's unfortunately getting ready to die, and so I'll have to get going. But I will continue to listen on the computer and try to log in.
Thank you so much for joining us, Captain, and God bless you, and thank you for everything.
Yeah, God bless you guys, too. It was really nice meeting you in Fort Meade. So
yes, well, we will be meeting again. We will be meeting again, and I owe you a call. So I will be calling you in probably another day or so and let you know the good changes that are happening here.
Good. I can't wait for it.
Also the inside details, because I know you want to know, and I'd like to tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you guys have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all your work.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless. That was great. Papoose says good night. Everyone says good night. Thank you. And I agree. Issa, who I met with, chief of staff, he's already given up. And yes, I agree that he's been sort of given targets by the White House to take out as long as he doesn't touch Obama. I think the issue of the birth certificate is, at least with him, is not there. Unless we can, again, get in on this RICO thing, then he's going to have a hard time ignoring it as the chairman of the House Judiciary. Where he is, he can't ignore that there might be a big, huge RICO problem. And it would probably have to, you know, either that's like a $300 million lawsuit that's filed under RICO, which gets somebody's attention and it brings hearings. With ISA, or ISA, I just don't know. And I just believe in what I've read and heard right now that he's been bought off. I don't see anybody out there who's really going to do this. So does that come down to us? What are we going to do? Anyone out there in the chat room want to call in? I have any new idea here, or would you like me to just like play another couple of songs and pull in another couple of ideas here? Sure. Call in if you'd like. Anyone who wants to call in and have a discussion, you're welcome to. Yeah, special prosecutor to investigate Obama for the Gulf oil spill. There's that. There is the RICO, which we need to start talking about. Everybody get educated on that. That's the racketeering influence corruption operation. Okay, so Bridget said that there will be investigated. Do you know, Bridget, what aspect of the oil spill ISA might be investigating? As the quote-unquote president's panel came up with a total blame to BP for cost-cutting as a major reason the thing happened. But, you know, I imagine everybody was better. For Terry Lakin, what can we do for Terry Lakin? We can do a lot. Like I said, don't let his work go down in vain. You need to mention it. Talk about it. Tell everybody, of course, if you can support him, whatever, but also support every state and every legislature you have in your state to make sure that there's an eligibility criterion on your state ballot. Start doing it right now. I'm pleased to bring in my co-host and the co-host of Walls in Our Minds, Terry Dodd. Good evening, Terry. Happy New Year to you.
Good evening and Happy New Year to you, Kate, and all the listeners. It's interesting. I've almost thought that our guest tomorrow night, John Weaver, wasn't going to be able to join us because his mother passed away tonight.
Oh.
But he has written and said that he will be on with us and won't be I'm just pleased as punch he's going to be with us because he's got a great, great message for us tomorrow night on God's law, and he's been looking forward to it. I think that's why he's not using this as a reason to justify. Obviously, would be very justified not to appear tomorrow night. But we're really glad he's going to be with us. You know, Kate, I don't know if you've been watching the news very much today, but it's been just absolutely crazy out there. And one of the things that I saw that I was very impressed with was Victoria Windsor's letter that was posted on Post Email regarding Terry Lakin. And she wrote that to Eric Cantor. And I believe that this is a prime opportunity. Right now, these new congressmen that are coming in, we need to be barraging them with all of this sort of thing. I mean, not just regarding Terry Lakin, but other things as well. But obviously, on close to your heart is the Terry Lakin situation.
I hadn't seen it. Do you have that handy? And or can you link it or read it?
I put the post in here. There it is in chat. If you want to pull that up, you're probably a better reader than I am, but I'm sure you're a faster reader than I am.
Well, what else have you seen? Because you're right, I haven't been really look at this. You want me to read it? Would that be the best thing to do and then talk about it?
Yeah, somebody asked, who is John Weaver? John Weaver, Pastor John Weaver, is one of the top black regiment pastors who is really... I think probably got a better handle on God's law and how the Bible and Deuteronomy, et cetera, was applied to our Constitution and our Republic, and the way that the pecking order that was originally established with God being on top and the natural rights of the people next, and then the Constitution and then the government falling under that. And he's going to be giving us a lecture on that right out of the scripture. Talking about how it applies to natural law and our republic, and how we should be as Christians living and fighting the evils of what's going on in our government. So I think it's going to be an exciting thing tomorrow night. Let's see. Back to this deal. I'll click on that and pull it right up.
The other thing today has
been all of the stuff which Charles Kolb, who's in our chat room right now, put out some information, and I've gotten probably a half a dozen different sources with different kinds of theories on why these birds have been dying and how it relates to John Wheeler being murdered and found in a landfill. Have you gotten into any of that today, Kate?
No, but since this was part top of the show, I thought I would call it Encounters with a New World Order. Let's remind everybody that there's been some big bird kills, and I think other fishes somewhere in the southern states. And, of course, Fish and Wildlife is saying that it's due to firecrackers, but go ahead and tell us what you think and have heard. It's obviously something New World Order-like. Chemtrails,
well,
I don't
particularly buy into everything that's published by Sasha Fael, or however that name is pronounced, which comes out of Russia. A lot of Russian stories are posted by that particular author, and I know that some releases that come out through that are really propaganda. But in this case, I really do believe that what was reported is probably quite accurate, and that is that some of this, and I'm not sure of the pronunciation, but phosgene gas, which is a chemical warfare element that was brought over from Iraq after Saddam Hussein was taken out, and it was stashed over in Arkansas, and the representation has been that John Wheeler, who is an expert at chemical warfare and military deployment and this sort of thing, he's he was the person that was the one that was responsible for the Vietnam War wall being built in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. And he's recently been working for a company consulting in this arena, and they claim that he found out about that they were going to be using this phosgene gas in Afghanistan, and that they were planning on doing some tests, and that he was going to reveal this, he was going to expose it, and that's what got him killed. Well, there's also been the report by this Sasha Fael out of Russia that this tanker, this sprayer, this plane that rigged to spray this phosgene gas had taken off on two consecutive days from a base in Arkansas, and that it had had a malfunction and discharged this phosgene gas, and that was partly what's responsible for the Louisiana and Arkansas bird deaths. Now, also the report was is that Putin has been all over this, and of course this is the actual fact, that Putin has been complaining that some of this phosgene gas was not being destroyed as quickly as the United States had agreed to do so, because they knew that they had it, that they had taken it out of Iraq, and that in fact they had been pumping this stuff down deep into the ground and possibly increasing the possibility of some of the quakes that have been happening around the Madrid Fault. They've had like 500 of these quakes. Well, if they are pumping it in there into the ground in Arkansas, and they had a quake as a result of increasing the pressure, tectonic pressure, that certainly could be an explanation of the fish kill. So all of this has been going on, and the news on this has been flying like crazy out there. I mean, I've seen everything from representations that HAARP was responsible for the kills, and of course they've been trying to do all kinds of cover stories, like saying that John Wheeler was in a lawsuit about the house across the street being built to block his view from the Delaware River and all of this stuff. But they've also been bringing out a lot of information about the Asian bird kills that have been reported by the avian flu, killing a lot of fowl and stuff over there, kind of, you know, mixing it in, just kind of, you know, it's just making it confusing, the whole issue about what's going on with these. And it leads me to believe that John Wheeler's death really is tied to this phosgene gas scandal. And I think that's something we really need to watch, because obviously if it's killing birds, it can kill people too.
Yep. I think, do you know phosgene is, well, there's a phosphorus component, but I'm wondering also if it's a kind of mustard gas component as well. Unbelievable.
One person off of the reports, I'm not saying this has been reported, I'm saying that someone that I was talking to raised the question, why would they be spraying it in Afghanistan when our troops are there? If our troops are there, would they not be susceptible to it just the way our troops were susceptible to Agent Orange? Could it be a way of killing some of our troops and keeping them from being able to come back here and defend us? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just saying somebody that's close to me raised that issue, and I think it's a legitimate concern.
I think it is, too. And notice right now, don't forget to get your flu shot. You know, the increasing chemtrailing that's going on everywhere, again, you know, weakening the population through perhaps biological agents. But spraying this around in Arkansas and, you know, the blackmail issue comes in pretty heavy here in terms of just things being allowed to do this. And also the New World Order piece comes in. Who is controlling this stuff? And, you know, as we focus on what Obama's doing, look at all this other stuff that's going on. So, you know, the eligibility issue, it was designed to be a distraction, but you know what, we're over that because we've discovered it, we know it's true, it's over. Anyone else who just doesn't believe it right now is just lying. Okay, we can say you're intellectually dishonest. And now it's freed up all this other avenue. We can see this going around on us again. And, you know, I just want to use this moment to just sort of plug your show as well and to ask you to explain for, you know, briefly if you can, the role of the Black Regiment in leading people forward in our first revolution and how this show and Walls in Our Minds focus as the new year comes out is pretty relevant to how we begin to tackle these issues now.
Well, up through the 19th century, our churches were a part of the balance of power, the checks and balances. They've been a key element in teaching the truth and helping the people understand natural law. And this is where my co-host Red Beckman has been preaching for a long time that the church has become deceived and it's certainly deceiving its the people in the pews. And in colonial times, the churches were where our well-regulated state militias were organized through, and the Black Regiment preachers were those preachers who were preaching freedom and natural law and the laws of nature's God, and the fact that we have our unalienable rights from our Creator, that whole principle that came out in, you know, our Declaration of Independence and in our Constitution, was really something that was taught boldly from our pulpits, and we've lost that, and it's been a major part of the way that we've been subverted. And Chuck Baldwin has been one of the key players in trying to revitalize the Black Regiment, or the Black Robe Regiment, as it's also called. And so there are ministers across the country that are beginning to get back into the swing of preaching the real truth and relating that to God's law from Scripture. And that's what we're focusing on tomorrow night and next week as well, with John Weaver, also with Bob McCurry, Robert McCurry, pastors, both pastors, and I'm also going to get in touch with Jim Grove and get him to come back on, because he, of course, did the DVDs for Fully Informed Jury Association, and he's a pastor out of Pennsylvania, teaching that the people have the right to judge the law, and that Romans 13 does not tell us that we are to submit ourselves or make ourselves subject to a de jure Luciferian government, when we, in fact, are the ones that are supposed to be over the law in this country. God being over us the people being over the Constitution, and the Constitution being over the government. And that is a biblical concept, and that secession is even a biblical concept. And that we need to be, again, returning to God's law, the natural law. And this is critical if we expect to have any kind of impact to really restore this republic. One, that the people need to be informed of that so that they will stop being subservient to this unlawful government regime and recognize that this is not something that God has put into place. We put it into place by not keeping up with God's law. And so this is what we're going to be talking about in detail tomorrow night. And I would urge anyone, really, it's going to be a great opportunity to pick these men's minds. I mean, they understand the Scripture as well as anybody I've ever come across in my life, and I've been around a lot of good, really good teachers and mentors from that perspective. And I really am looking forward to what John Weaver and Bob McCurry have to say. But it's also, they're going to be taking calls toward the end of the show, so everybody should really have their questions ready and get in that act.
Well, I thank you for reporting on that and sharing with our readers, listeners, because also I want to say that, as I told you a couple weeks ago in the show, that coming back from the Lakin trial and now sort of having a final, you know, nail in the coffin, if you will,
I realize that everything has failed. All of our institutions have failed. And the only thing that I am left with, really, is me and my maker, me and God. And with that, that's where my trust has to be in terms of what is next. And all the other institutions seem to fall in light of that. And wherever that is directed, it has to be. We're going to have to take this on and go forward.
Amen.
So,
we've got about 20 minutes. What else you want to talk about?
Well, let me see what we've got going on here in the chat. So, let's see. I think, Terry, it's what do you see next? You know, do you, Death of a Thousand Cuts. What's your favorite cut that you would like to sort of focus on this year?
Well, I believe that I keep saying this, I keep repeating myself, and some of the folks that are listening have heard me say it too many times already, but we've got to get some things done within some of the states. We've got to focus on a few states, and everybody really needs to be focusing on their own particular state, but we've got to come back to the power of the person, the power of the sword, and we've got to get control of our currency. We've got to get gold and silver or the precious commodities back involved so that we can take the power back from these international bank lords. We've got to get legislation into place that will have the state protect the individual from the tyranny of the federal government. One of the things that's in the new legislation on the sound money legislation that's being written is related to revitalizing the well-regulated state militias, because the citizens are the militia. Militia is not about radical militants that are running rogue out there. That's not what the militia is. And we've got to get back to this, because that's where the grassroots is really organized at that level. We will bring statesmen out of our local precinct groups that can be organized in the form of a militia, whether it's Citizen Homeland Security Associations or just a local group, whatever you want to call it. We've got to organize at the grassroots, and we've got to be willing to protect the individuals by way of having legislation in the states where the state is telling the federal government to leave our people alone. They have the right to bear arms. They have the right to organize as citizens' homeland security groups or as a well-regulated militia. And out of that, we will build grassroots petition support for other forms of nullification within the state. And I urge everyone that has not gotten a hold of one or both of the books, The Illusion of Freedom by Martin Babbitts or Nullification by Tom Woods, both of those books are just phenomenally good books and will teach us a lot about what we need to be doing in our state and what we need to be raising good elected officials up in our local areas about. So I believe that that's critical. And then of course comes in the fully informed jury. We've got to get it back to where we have some teeth to enforce these presentments, which is another reason why we want to organize at the grassroots level, so that we can force the judiciary and the sheriffs and the prosecuting attorneys to actually take these presentments, these common law presentments coming out of the common law grand juries, to take them seriously and to actually be able to put the real criminals in jail. And these are just the fundamental elements of these thousand cuts that we've got to work on. And I believe we can have a lot more power as individuals to do that at a local level than we do on a national level. Sovereignty is enforced through the state. You can't try to have standing as a sovereign on the level of a national or federal basis. Only your state can be sovereign, and you have to delegate that sovereignty. So it's up to the state to protect the individual sovereignty. We can't go out there and say to the federal government, "I'm a sovereign." It just isn't going to get you anywhere. So we've got to get that enforced at the state level.
A couple things I wanted to pick up on. One, of course, is the militia, citizens' militia. Again, Arizona is leading the way, and I believe there will be a bill introduced creating a and authorizing a militia to help with border security, citizen militia in Arizona, probably this year. Also, just on nullification and the post put up by many of us called Standing Down to Unlawful Orders, think about all the ways in which, individually, you can stand down by standing up with your state on all kinds of issues. Remember, one of the great things about Martin Babbitt's book is the illusion that the Bill of Rights applies only to the states. It really only applies to the federal government. The Bill of Rights was our protection against the federal government. And the diversion, of trying to make it an issue of states' rights versus individuals here is just simply that. It's just a diversion. So I think this is really wise and correct moving on. Again, the states now have to really stand up, and we're going to have to maybe be those state legislatures and so forth. I heard of another state as well that is going to try to move to start paying senators out of the state budget versus the federal budget as a way to begin to get back to removing the 17th Amendment. I think also at the state level, there should be all kinds of mechanisms put in place where you can recall your senator and so forth. Start those actions now so that they're there, so those frameworks are there.
Yes.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So there's lots to do. It really was Washington's advice to avoid foreign entanglement. And look at how much time we're spending right now concerned about the New World Order and concerned about what's happening everywhere else. All of our people, our soldiers, are in other countries. And I can't help but think that's one of the reasons Washington and our founders advised that, because there would come a point where we'd be absolutely defenseless. And as long as we're paying attention to international things that are going on and flood our news screens and so forth, we can't pay attention to the tyranny that's unfolding right before us. And someone said on my blog today, the only thing that's true right now is for the rest of our waking lives, we're going to have to reverse this, and we're going to work real hard, and we may not see the results of our efforts in our lifetimes coming up. Certainly there's, we all have a chance to turn around, but right now I don't think that's really a choice for anyone who is truly in tune with not only their creator, but also the challenge of our time and our day in this country.
I know Pamela's still in the chat room. I'd kind of like to ask her if she believes the military is involved in spraying chemtrails right here in the United States. I know it to be a fact. I know it factually, and I've got close friends of mine who have been contractors on military bases who have actually witnessed the tankers being loaded and taken off. I have no question in my mind whatsoever that the military is absolutely directly involved in the chemtrails.
And there's also others who think it's the United Nations. There is some evidence that it's been turned over to something bigger, something greater, a.k.a. New World Order. I know that the skies over Tucson, Arizona, are blanketed with chemtrails, and there's the Air Force Base right there. Here in North Dakota, I haven't seen the chemtrails too much, but they're beginning to show up. But there are lots of bases here, both in South and North Dakota as well. So, the captain is saying she doesn't know.
But I think they probably are. You know, that is a useful thing to start asking. Also, a tool that you can use on a day with heavy chemtrails is just to wear a mask. You know, yes, it's not going to completely prevent us, but particulate matter will. And so on a day of heavy chemtrails, you might want to start encouraging yourself and friends and family, if they'll do it, to start wearing those. People ask what for is a point up to the sky. It's these chemtrails. And then use the opportunity to mention to them that, you know what, it's poison. Yes, and of course, weather alteration experimentation, I'm sure that's what they think, and that is the guise. This stuff has been going on since the mid-60s for the purpose of modifying weather. And, gee, all of a sudden now we have a global warming problem? Or actually, is it global cooling? And how do they have to spray the sky to convince us that it's warming or whatever? So that myth that either it's a contrail, you can push that down, but that it's weather experimentation, you could put that down, but also say, well, why would they have to spray aluminum and barium and who knows what else to do weather experimentation? Pay attention to that. Call attention to it. You know, every now and then, call your water department and ask them for a sample of your water, especially if they've been heavily spraying, if you can. So this stuff shows up. I was in the mid-80s up in the wilderness of the Wind River Mountains for several weeks on horseback doing a clean lake study. Kept wondering what all of the junk was on the vegetation and rocks up there. You know, it's a wilderness area. No one goes up there. About 14,000 feet and lower. What is all that black stuff, all that goo? I guess that's what it is.
Well, have you heard about Neotame?
Go ahead. Tell us.
Neotame is a new form similar to aspartame. And they call it, one of the products is known as Sweetos, that they're adding to the animal grain or the animal food to cut the bitterness of some of the stuff that they're putting in there, because the animals won't eat it if it's bitter. And this Sweetos, this Neotame, is the latest product, and they have now, the FDA has actually made it so that you don't even have to put it on a label. You don't even have to show it as an ingredient. So you can pick it up in your meat products as a result of it being fed to the animals, and you can also get it directly in processed food without it having to be shown as an ingredient. So go just look up, get on the line and start looking up Neotame, Neotame, and check out what our wonderful government's doing with that stuff now. And it's supposed to be worse and more toxic than aspartame.
So this is what's happening. This is what they're doing, and they're spraying it, and we can't just talk about it now. We're going to have to, like I say, put masks on. And for me, it's making, because now I have really no future work in my field. You know what? If you see somebody in the newspaper wearing a mask, it's probably me, because I'm going to have a lot of time to do that. And I think even just small stuff, we're just going to have to, but it reinforces for me, Terry, what, you know, I kind of heard again on the way back from the Lakin trial, which was, build a patriot's ark. And it's, we have to build our safety net. And as Papoose noted in one of the blog, is that part of that safety net has to be, you know, a screen, a filter, so that we don't get bombarded with this stuff, because they are trying to kill us. I'm beyond being, you know, I don't have to be convinced that our government would kill us to achieve a broader agenda. It's just very clear they're doing it whatever way they can right now anyway. And so the more people know, the better, and it's no time to worry about scaring anybody. It's going on right now. So
and it's escalating. And especially how brave they are getting. I think John Wheeler is a perfect example of this. These people are completely ruthless. They absolutely have no gumption about doing, you know, they're not operating inside the law. They are the law. They consider themselves gods. They think they make up the laws as it's convenient to them today. And we've got to raise up as a people and put a stop to this. We absolutely do, because they're killing us. They're killing us right now, and they're gonna keep killing us.
And for every soldier that was out there in the field hearing about Terry Lakin around Christmas time, guess what message that sent? And to anybody, yep. It's just like, you know. And then to have somebody be murdered and thrown in a dumpster, like blatant, just like that, within common knowledge that he was going to report on this. Very interesting stuff. It's Karen Silkwood all over again. It is happening. It's not coming. It's here. It is here. So, Terry, I look forward to seeing you on your show tomorrow night. Everyone, please join Walls in Our Minds tomorrow night, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern. Let me check around the chat room. Any other questions or anything? Thank you all for joining us this evening. Guests, Jet Driver, Charles, Captain Barnett, No Nonsense Nancy, glad you got in. Papoose, Bridget, thank you for coming. Echo, Foxtrot, thank you so much. Free Text, everyone who came this evening and everyone who listened, God bless you and God keep you. And we're going to head right on back to something they must have been singing at Woodstock. I hope you are all well. Good night. Thank you.
Kate, stay safe.
You too. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Freedom. something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their mind, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying sign. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.